come, bowing down before your throne. We know that we could never repay all we owe, but you said that we could come before you as we are, as we are.
Paul didn't change his doctrine or the message of the gospel to appeal to different groups of people, but he did his best to find common ground with those who needed to hear truth and receive grace. His focus was always to deliver the gospel of Jesus Christ to the lost and to help them grow in their faith. The following is a presentation of the Heart to Heart Bible study titled Common Ground, a teaching through the book of 1 Corinthians. More information is available on our website at www.refugefamily.com/womensministry.
Time for our memory verse.
Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20.
Let's do it again. We're declaring this truth, right?
Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20.
There you go.
Lord Jesus, as we get into your word, Father, in this important text that we have today, Father, we know that the enemy is at work and he wants to rob, kill, and destroy every good thing. We know that the enemy wants to have his way, and we say no. We stand with you, Jesus Christ. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And Father, as we move through this study, I pray for your words to be spoken. I know of myself, I have nothing to give right now. I know, Lord, that you have something to share today, and I know, Father, that you are going to change our lives today. You are going to change our prayer life. You're going to change the way that we look at things. You're going to change the way that we accept things and the way that we deal with things. Lord Jesus, help us to always keep our eyes set on you. And I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, that you would give us and others, Lord, just a love for your word, just a hunger and a thirst for your word, Lord. You said in the last days that there would be a famine of your word. Lord Jesus, don't let that be said of us in this place. Thank you, and we praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first thing that came to my attention as I was going through chapters 5 and 6 is that it starts out with, it is actually reported. It is commonly known. It's everybody knows what's going on in that church, and the people in the church were not aware of it. That is a serious accusation toward the Corinthian church. And it hasn't changed, people. People. I don't even say that. Where did that come from? It hasn't changed. Still, there are things going on in different groups of churches. that people are not aware of, but everybody else can see it happening. And we won't stand for it. We won't stand for it anymore. So as we move through this, what's actually being reported here? That there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles. Something is happening that even just the regular people don't even talk about something like this, and it's happening in the church, and it's common knowledge that it's happening in the church. That's what's so serious here. It's common knowledge that it's going on. The leaders know that it's going on. And in the name of tolerance, they allow it. In the name of acceptance, they allow it. And not stand against the things that God told us to stand against. It says that there was a man that was sleeping with his father's wife. His father's wife could have been his stepmom. Probably was not his mom. It could have been his stepmom. It could have been one of his father's wives. It could have been his father could have died. The point is, this woman was not his wife. And it was in the family. And it was spoken of in Leviticus, I believe, that this is unacceptable. And so it was common knowledge that it was going on in the church. Everybody could see it. Everybody was all happy going on with it. Oh, everybody, we love you all, and everything is so good. Oh, it's so good to see you. Oh, yes, let's have dinner. Oh, yeah, let's. No. Paul speaks against it, that a man has his father's wife, and the problem is that you're puffed up about it. You think that it's such a good thing that you're tolerant of it. You think that it's such a good thing that you're accepting of it. We're talking about a person who is a believer. We're not talking about someone who's not a believer. We're talking about somebody who is a believer, and we're going, oh, yeah, that's okay. You go ahead and sin. That's all right. When you say it that way, doesn't that kind of hit home a little bit more? I see you're in a burning building, and it's going to kill you, but I don't want to tell you about it because I don't want to offend you. You're puffed up and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. There was moral pollution there. They were shameless. They were boasting. They were proud of their tolerance. Paul says that he can deal with it from where he's at. For I indeed, verse 3, as absent in the body but present in spirit, have already judged as though I were present. I can see what's going on. I don't need to be there. You know that I'm there in spirit. I have made that judgment on him who has so done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, when you are gathered together as one, along with my spirit, because I'm going to be there with you in spirit, and you know who I am, you know what I feel, and you're there with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. So those three prerequisites, you're gathered together, you are with Paul's spirit, or his thinking with him, being a part of that, and with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do not enter into any conflict or any situation without having the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in your life. Do not enter into any conflict without having the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in your midst. Deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, and that his spirit may be saved in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. You need to mourn, he said. You need to mourn. You need to take him away. We don't have any word of the woman being taken away. It gives us indication that she wasn't a believer or just wasn't being dealt with at that particular point. And so here we are. Turn him over to Satan. Remember when Jesus said that to Peter, that Satan has asked to sift you. Do you remember that? That's what's happening here. He is being turned over to Satan for the destruction of his flesh in terms of every conflict like this. Okay, so every conflict like this, everything that's confronted like this, every person that needs to be put out of the church for a time is put out with the intention of them coming back healed, coming back well, coming back understanding what the truth is and walking in the truth. I remember a church on the way a long time ago when the pastor there dealt with a thing. It was before all of the people. Since all of the people knew about it, it had to be dealt with before all of the people. And so he dealt with it before all of the people. So everybody knew that we are behind this person. We want to see healing in this person's life. We want to see a restoration there. So we have that along with that. For indeed, okay, so your glorying is not good. So you're puffed up. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed, Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. I was thinking about when we were in Israel the last time, we were there close to Passover. And when I came for breakfast, there was just some cold stuff, and it just looked a little weird. There was some stuff, but not very much stuff. And so I asked our guide, what's going on? He said, oh, it's Passover. And so they have to completely clean the kitchen. They have to take everything out of the kitchen. They have to clean the corners. They have to clean the edges. They have to clean the ceiling and the fans and the ducts and everything about that kitchen. Every piece of utensil has to be washed and cleaned to make sure that there's no leaven left in that kitchen. So we were not allowed to eat dinner in that dining room that night either, which was interesting. But we had, what an illustration of that. Not a hint. I started thinking about baking bread. And I don't know how many of you bake bread, but when you put the yeast in it and it puffs up, and then you have to punch it down. Okay, so that's kind of like, okay, so I'm dealing with the yeast because I'm punching it down, but what happens? If I just punch it down and just put it down further, what happens? It rises right back up. I need to eat flatbread. I want that yeast to be out of there. I want that leaven to be out of there. What does leaven represent? Sin, always. I want that sin dealt with. I want to be done with it. And that's what Paul is talking about here, being done with it. We have become unleavened because of what Christ has done in our lives. We are unleavened. And I think about flatbread, and I think about the fact that it's just, I can't think of what I'm trying to say here. It's flat. You know, there's no surprises. There's no surprises. You know exactly what you see is what you get. You know what? You open it up, it's still flat. You know, anyway, that has nothing to do with anything. Okay. So we don't want to tolerate that sin in there. And it goes way beyond the offender not being able to attend services. This is about separating this man from the blessing of family. He was abusing his right, he was polluting the church, and he was flaunting his sin, and the leadership was doing nothing about it. He wasn't saying, pray for me, I'm struggling, please help me in this. He wasn't saying that. He was boasting about what he was doing. He was saying, if he wants to live like, and so Paul is saying, if you want to live like the devil, let's let you have some time with him and see what happens. with the intention of him coming back. Fellowship is a precious thing. It means more than sharing Sunday morning. It's about sharing life. It's about working through our challenges. It's about working through things together. This is not the only time that Paul's done such a thing. 1 Timothy 1:20, of whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered to Satan that they may learn not to blaspheme. Again, when Pastor Allen was here, we often have people that come to the church that, I wouldn't say often, we sometimes have people that come to the church that kind of cause some trouble. And we've taken them in, they've come in, they're part of our fellowship, and all of a sudden the trouble starts brewing again. And Pastor Allen would give them a timeout. You can't come to church for this amount of time. It was there with the purpose of there being correction and of there being growth and there being healing so that, yes, now you can come back. If it happens again, we'll put you on a timeout again. We're not going to give up on you, but you don't get to have the privileges of fellowship if you want to destroy things. And so that's where we're at in our text today. Jesus did the same thing in Revelation 2, 18 through 20, when he talked about the doctrine of Jezebel, and Revelation 2, 12 through 14, the doctrine of Balaam. Purity is as important as unity. Purity is as important as unity. When we lived in Australia, I had a little conversation with a pastor there that we were a part of that church, and some things had come up. And I had to say something to it. And so the pastor came and talked to me about saying what I said. And I asked him, he said, all I want is unity. All I want is unity. And I said, are you willing to have unity at any price? And he told me, yes. That's what was happening here. Unity at any price. This is hard, but it's necessary. It has to be done with grace. It has to be done with obedience. And it's done with a broken heart. Paul's not looking at this guy saying, I hate him, get him out. His heart is broken over this broken man. And so it has to be done with grace, with obedience, with a broken heart. And so I wrote to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people, yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world or with the covetous extortioners, idolaters, since you got to get out of the world to be done with them. But now I have written to you not to keep company with anyone named a brother who is sexually immoral, covetous, idolater, reviler, drunkard, extortioner. There are other things that are on this list. Not even to eat with such a person. He's talking about believers who are not walking in the way. He's not talking, we are in this world, but we are not of this world. We have to be amongst this world if we are going to bring people to Christ. But as believers, we know the truth. It's the truth that sets us free, and we all have to live by it. So be careful. So here's the bottom line of chapter 5. Let me see if I've gotten down to what I wanted to. For what have I to do with judging those also who are outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are outside, God judges. So God takes care of them. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person. So we are Christians. We are different from the world. We should be different from the world. We have a new life. We have a better way. And we can't go back to the vomit. Proverbs 26:11. Because that's what it is when we go back to our own ways, old ways. Be careful. 2 Peter 2:20-22. Keep growing. Stay clean. Make repentance more than a ceremonial altar call. Make repentance more than a ceremonial altar call. Repentance, I love this phrase, it's actually from Bill. Repentance is the antivirus application of your heart. Repentance is the antivirus application of your heart. And we need to ask ourselves this question, am I more like the world or more like Jesus? And so Jesus had a zeal for the house of God, the temple in John 2:17. He spent 3 to 4 days reminding them what the temple was for. It was for restoring the place of truth. It was guarding its proper use, and that it would be a house of prayer. Paul had a zeal for the house of God too, and that's what chapter 6 is about. He could not stand to see it polluted or abused, so the charge to the church in Corinth continues. They were acting too much like the world they were living in. And what Paul addresses is not deep, it's not hidden, it is easy to understand, maybe hard to swallow, but it was obvious, and unless hearts are hardened, it was an easy thing to accept. I want you to note that in chapter 6, 5 times Paul says, "Do you not know?" He says it in verse 2, in verse 3, in verse 5, verse 6, and verse 9. "Do you not know?" You already know this, Paul says. You already know these things. It's not that we don't know them, it's that we don't obey them. So dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Do you not know that that saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments concerning things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those who are least esteemed by the church to judge? I say this to your shame. Is it so that there's not a wise man among you, not even one who will be able to judge between his brethren? But brother goes to law against brother, and that before unbelievers. Now, therefore, it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? What? You're telling me that I don't... Oh, wait. I was the one wronged. You owe me an apology. That was from Popeye, wasn't it? You owe me the apology. Would you rather be wronged by someone and let love prevail? The kingdom of this world versus the kingdom of God, there's a difference. Bill uses the illustration of football and footy. Football, you all know the game of football. Footy is an Australian game, and the ball looks like a football a little bit. They have similar names, but they're completely different games and with completely different rules. We have different rules to live by when we are walking with the Lord. Going to court with a brother, you are smarter than that. And it's the least among you. The world is watching, the world is judging, and that is an utter failure that the world can judge us. Rabbi Tarfon in 100 AD said, "In every place where you find pagan law courts, you must not make use of them, even if their laws are the same as the laws of Israel. Because the Tanakh says, these are the judgments which you shall set before them." Exodus 21, 1, before them and not before pagans. Remember that winning isn't everything. We will judge angels, and that's a whole other study that you've probably gone into detail in your study, but if you want to put with that Psalms 8, 6 and 7, and 2 Timothy 2:12. We're not going to spend any time on that because we don't have time. the dangers of new morality being joined to a harlot, and we'll just move right on through here. And so we've got down to, now therefore it's already utter failure, and why do you go, and can you be cheated, and yes we can. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Don't be deceived. Neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, homosexuals, sodomites, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Panic sets in. Oh no, I was one of those people. I've done those things. But have you practiced those things? Are you currently practicing those things? No, we are not practicing those things. We move on to verse 11 where it says, of such were some of you. Some of you were these things that I just named. But you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus by the Spirit of our living God. Hallelujah. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. What is Paul saying here? He says, I can do whatever I want. Why does, whenever I say that, I get a southern accent on it. Yeah, I can do whatever I want. Have you seen that little thing on Instagram of the little boy encouraging his mom? And she he says that you can do whatever you want. You can get a better job. You can make more money. You could be rich. You could live in the White House. You could be president. Don't worry about what other people think of you. You can do it. That's what God says to us. We can do this. All things are lawful for us. You do what you want to do, was the point. I can do what I want to do, but does everything that I want to do, is it a benefit for you? No. I have a freedom to do anything, but there may be someone else that doesn't have that same freedom. And I don't want to be a stumbling block for anybody. So I have that freedom, but I'm not going to walk in that and allow that to bring others down. All things are lawful for me, not all things are, but I will not be brought under the power of any. That's why I stopped using drugs. I will not be brought under the power of anything. And right now, I will tell you, I will not be brought under the power of sin, and neither will you. And I'm telling you, you are not going to be brought down by the power of sin. You are making that decision right now. It's not going to hold you. Whatever that is, you go, oh, I keep dealing with that. A friend of mine talked about a young man who came every week for prayer because he said, I got caught in the web again. Pray for me, Pastor. I got caught in the web. Finally, the pastor says, it's time to kill the spider. It's time to kill the spider. Not be involved in those things. Foods for the stomach and stomach for foods. Okay, easy explanation. The stomach was made for food. The food was made for the stomach. But the body was not made for fornication. The body was not made for sexual immorality. And the Lord and God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? Do I realize that every time I sin, I take Jesus with me? What an eye-opener that was for me the first time I thought of that. Jesus is in this situation with me. What in the world am I doing here? This is not someone I would want to take him, but I realize he said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. So he's in the middle of it. We need to be reminded of that. We have a different moral standard. We have a new ability to please God. 1 John 3:9. Well, certainly not. We are not to do that. We are not to have members of a harlot. Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. So how can we say we love the Lord and walk in continual darkness, in no victory, no shame, no desire for purity? All these things are lawful, but I'm not going to do any of them. What we allow will eventually dominate us. What we allow will eventually dominate us. Let nothing master you. Galatians 5:1 and 5:13. Boundaries are necessary. Have you ever tried to drive on a road that didn't have a middle marker in it? It's hard to stay on the right side, isn't it? We all need boundaries. We see kids today who need some boundaries. They need some boundaries in their lives. I need boundaries this far and no further. I need someone that does that to me. The people of the world believe their lives and their bodies belong to them. The child of God has given ownership of his life to Jesus Christ. We belong to Jesus now. That is not politically correct or culturally correct to say that I belong to somebody else. But I belong to Jesus. And I pray you do too. I am happy to belong to him. The body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. It goes on in verse 18, flee sexual immorality. This word flee means to continually keep running away from it, continually saying no, continually running from it, like Joseph did when he left his coat behind. He fleed from the situation. There are situations in our lives where we think, oh, I'll be offensive. It'll be really offensive to that person. Then offend them. Who would you rather offend? Them or the Lord? It's up to us. So flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit. I have been waiting this whole time to get to this verse. Do you not know you were bought with a price? Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. What are you and I worth? What are we worth? We were bought at a price, 1 Peter 1:18 and 19. We were not redeemed with corruptible things, not with cold hard cash or a credit card or any other means from your aimless conduct, but with the precious blood of Jesus. Ephesians 1:7-14, in him we have redemption through his blood. Redemption is a financial term. And those of you who are good at finances know exactly what it means, okay? Redemption means to buy up, to buy up. Redeem means to buy up. Jesus redeemed. He bought up a terribly lost, ruined, empty, broken person in me and in you. And in every other person who is ever born. We are all broken. When Bill talks about the shell that you see the most on the beach are the broken shells. We're all broken. We all have brokenness in us. We all have situations where something happened to us that just broke us. But Jesus put us back together. Jesus does it. And he did it with his blood. He paid full price for us. He didn't buy us on a special. He didn't get us marked at a reduced rate. He didn't get a twofer when he saved us. He deals with us each individually. He laid down his life for us. Salvation cost God a personal fortune. Revelation 5:9, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open the seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe, tongue, people, and nations. And Acts 20:28, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. And that doesn't just deal with the leaders, but with all of us. To shepherd the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. It is God's blood. It was a set price. Guess who set the price? God set the price. Satan didn't set the price. God set the price. The price of redeeming a man was to shed the blood of an innocent man, of God himself who would come down. Who was purchased? 1 John 2:2. He himself is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. He died once for all. 2 Timothy 2:1. But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you, who will secretly bring in destructive heresies, even denying the Lord who bought you. Paul says we're bought at a price. 1 Corinthians 7, which we'll get into next week, 23. You were bought at a price. Do not become slaves of men. You were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. You now are alive to live for him, and the blood never loses its power. The blood never loses its power. The price is paid. God's lays claim to your life by the blood. The price is paid. Your sins are covered. You are his property. I am his property, and I am proud to be his property. You are walking around with someone else's property. What are you doing with it? What are you going to do with someone else's property? Let God take possession of what he has purchased, and let's see what God will do in our lives. And so, Father, I thank you, Lord, for your word. I thank you, Father, for your presence with us. I thank you, Father, that you alone are worthy. You alone are God. We give you honor and glory and praise to your name, Lord. Set our eyes on you. Lord, will you give us a hunger and a thirst for your word, please? Hunger and thirst for your word. And we thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. I will see you guys next week. Jesus, we worship you for all you are. Father, we want to bow our whole life down. Spirit, invade the broken places in our hearts. The places in our hearts.
Thank you for listening to this Heart to Heart Women's Bible Study recorded at Refuge Calvary Chapel in Huntington Beach. We hope you've been encouraged by today's lesson and will join us again as we continue to study through the Word of God. For more information about the Heart to Heart Women's Ministry, please visit our website at www.refugefamily.com or call our office at 714-891-9495. Giving up, letting go.